Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Matthew Himmelstein, the VP of Product at Wonolo. Good afternoon, Matthew. How you doing?
Pretty good. Good afternoon to you too, Mark.
Yeah, I see you're wearing you're sporting your Golden State Warriors shirt. So
yeah, the new season's underway. We're ready to take the league by storm again.
Yeah, next Tuesday is actually the opening night for the NBA. Exactly. Yeah. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So Matthew, I'm currently the vice president of product at Wonolo. You know, prior to Wonolo, I founded three companies. I've been a product leader at others. And actually right before Wonolo, I was an entrepreneur in residence at Eventbrite. And I joined Wonolo about a year and a half ago. And it's been quite a ride ever since.
Interesting, a year and a half ago. So something that shook up the world about a year and a half ago. But before we get into that, why don't we talk about Wonolo? Interesting. I looked at your website. Interesting company. What is it you do and how do you do it? And who's your target audience? All those things.
Sure. Yeah. So at a high level, Wonolo is kind of like Uber, but for temp staffing. However, we're kind of focused on kind of like warehouse jobs and blue collar work. You know, so anywhere that, you know, the supply chain of America exists, you know, packages are being shipped through like these giant warehouses. If you want a job, you could just download our app and like basically the next day you could be working at a warehouse and like making money. And actually through COVID, you know, we have some pretty touching stories about like people being able to like immediately sign up and, you know, have work. But like we went gangbusters, as you can imagine, you know, supply chain warehouses, delivery models have like really like substantially increased because of e-commerce. Mm-hmm. And we've been helping our customers like do that.
Oh, very cool. And interestingly, you mentioned Eventbrite. Yeah. I would assume that had the opposite of the COVID had the opposite effect on Eventbrite. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, so I was at Eventbrite starting in 2018, I think. Very interesting Silicon Valley story. I was actually a product manager at a company called Ticketfly. Ticketfly gets acquired by Pandora, the music streaming service. And then 2 years later, Pandora sells Ticketfly to Eventbrite. So I had this Silicon Valley, like, you know, story about like acquisitions. Mm-hmm. I end up at Eventbrite. I eventually kind of joined the accelerator program, which I become like an entrepreneur in residence. What I had pitched Eventbrite on in 2018, 2019 was that, hey, we should invest in something called like online events, because it's basically contrarian to what Eventbrite was about. Eventbrite was about bringing people together in live experiences, you know, in physical, you know, spaces. You know, we'd IPO'd and like really focused on, you know, that kind of aspect of the business. But I saw that there was an Achilles heel around like location, you know, for ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Julia and Kevin were great. You know, even though they disagreed with the end result of thinking that online events were ever going to be big, they saw that it was an issue potentially with the business. So we invested in it. And actually, we launched kind of like a digital experiences product at the end of 2019. And mm-hmm. I was really at the helm of online events for Eventbrite, you know, the first quarter of 2020 when like COVID broke out. And I could tell you, like, we were looking at, you know, some pretty interesting data, like in really bad ways, right? Like one of the targets I had at Eventbrite was, you know, percentage of ticket sales that were for online events. And, you know, we're in like low single digit percentages. Like, can we get to like double digits? Like, you know, throughout the summer of 2020, online event ticket sales was primary revenue driver for Eventbrite. And that's because obviously things came to kind of a grinding halt in the live experience. So,
And that's probably still true. I bet you it's still at least 50%. Would you agree?
You know, I've kind of like, I moved on to go to work at Wonolo. Eventbrite is definitely like recovered. So I don't think it's, I wouldn't say it's at 50%. I mean, Eventbrite is worldwide like usage. Mm-hmm. However, it's definitely much more sizable than it was in the past in terms of the distribution.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Eventbrite is based over here in the peninsula, right?
Eventbrite, you know, when I joined Eventbrite, the headquarters in San Francisco, I think Kevin and Julia Hartz, Julia is the current co-founder president of Eventbrite. I'm pretty sure they do live in the peninsula.
Yeah, that's where I think they're located. I see you going up and down the 101.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So, but what about Wonolo then? I mean, it's got, you know, what you're doing fits perfectly to what's going on now. I mean, everything, yeah. You know, I mean, AWS and all those companies need exactly what you have.
Yeah. I mean, like in terms of like remote work, I mean, there's really kind of like two stories that went all over. So from like a corporate story in terms of, you know, my team and like, you know, the people who build the software that like our end users use, like Wonolo was already headed to like a fully remote like world where they saw, you know, the leadership, you know, prior to me joining saw an opportunity to get talent throughout the world, you know, regardless of where they were to be able to work. And so they were headed in that direction and COVID actually just like sped things up. You know, so while we still have a couple of offices, we do have an office in San Francisco with a lease. Like once that lease ends, like, you know, we won't be using it anymore. And we really don't use it now. Mm-hmm. And I think the, you know, the change in productivity that we've experienced just as human beings in terms of like not having to commute, you know, 1 to 2 hours a day has been, you know, a robust improvement over what we had. You know, conversely for our end users, you know, the workers really, it's like they work in supply chain, you know, like they don't have this kind of opportunity. They don't have the luxury of just, oh, hey, I'm just going to work from home. Right. I mean, they need to make ends meet. And if you start talking, if you, when you look at the data, you know, really we service the 80 million United States, people who make $35,000 or less. We give them on-demand jobs and on-demand work. And really, you know, our goal is to initially give them, you know, a quality job. And our bigger picture, you know, effort here is to try and figure out a way to give them not just a quality job, but help them have a quality life. I think that's why we're so excited about, you know, what we're doing. And it's kind of like at the complete opposite end, you know, like if somebody is shipping a package, it's got to go through some warehouse somewhere. And I know we all hear about the robots, but like at the end of the day, some human being is picking that up or looking at it and making sure that it's going to the right location. And that's where Wonolo comes in.
Yeah. And interesting, because the people that work for you, they have to go in to the office, but you said you get them a job, but did you really, you get them a contract or you get them an actual job?
Yeah. Well, so yeah. So Wonolo, we build a platform, right? Okay. And the platform helps match workers with customers. And the customers own the warehouses and they post jobs. And then the workers, you know, decide to sign up the jobs. Like from a technical standpoint, this is a 1099, like straight gig economy, like work. So those workers are not like employees directly of Wonolo. Like they're actually just using our platform to do the work they want. But we facilitate everything that they need, you know, all the way down to making sure that they like get taxed, you know, appropriately. However, we make sure that like it is 1099 work and, you know, there's pros and cons with all of that. I think, you know, not to get too into the weeds, but like, you know, Wonolo kind of believes there's a future of what we call like a third category. So not just there's W-2 work, there's 1099 work. And there's something that we think is better. It's kind of a mix of both for all parties involved. And that's something that we're kind of like trying to get to eventually, but that's obviously a big goal out there.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a digital nomad for the blue collar worker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I decide I'm going to go do warehouse work in Nebraska.
We've had some interesting you know, social media, I'll say like wins where like, people who find out about a Wonolo, this one guy, we found out about him on TikTok. He posted like hashtag van life. And he said, I drive around the country in my van. I use Wonolo to just find work when I need to make a couple of bucks. Wow. And it's totally true. You know, we see people sharing, you know, their referral code on like Facebook and like it getting reshared like over 3,000 times and really driving like a lot of like, you know, people who just need to make a couple of bucks to be able to like get in. And so we kind of service that like true gig economy, like tangential, like on my time, I need to make a couple extra bucks, as well as workers who, you know, want to do longer term, like we call them like long-term placements and just like work at like some company for 3-6 months, but doesn't necessarily want to work at that company full time. You know, they still want to have some flexibility. And that's us, you know, we just kind of like, we really like to say we're building the future of work and we see a lot of opportunity.
And you obviously your company has grown. It had to have in through the last 15 months or 18 months. So you've been hiring, I'm assuming. Have you like 100% remote, all your hires, and most of them you haven't met?
Yeah. So our hiring is all 100% like remote. Everybody like works from home, like officially. You know, I do think we have like regional hubs where the main offices were located. So we do have like a pretty good stronghold in Toronto and Nashville and the San Francisco like Bay Area. There is something to be said about, you know, easily being able to get together like in person when needed. But, you know, we've been looking at like having like, we do fun stuff too, right? Like we have like, you know, whole company offsite where everybody, no matter where you are in the world, we're going to fly you, you know, to a specific location, and then we're going to meet up, because like that in-person connection is important. It's just that it's not needed from like a day-to-day, like,
right,
you know, I don't need to waste 2 hours a day getting to and from the office just to see you, you know, once a month, once a quarter, you know, let's go when we see each other, let's just like have fun and like, you know, be human beings and not just have to talk about work.
Yeah. I think, and I see more and more of that with companies now that they're concentrating more on making people comfortable at home and figuring out ways to do other things off of work hours. And I agree. I mean, we both live in the Bay Area. I gain 2 hours a day easily.
Yeah. And you know, like we try and make it amicable. We have for new hires, we have a stipend to help you like make your work from home life, you know, better. Not everybody is as lucky. But you know, I think like, you know, it's also like regionally, I don't know. It's interesting. So in San Francisco and Toronto, everybody prefers to be remote. In Nashville, I would say, you know, people of the office that was in Nashville, probably like 50% of the office still likes to go into the office, not 5 days a week, but like they still do like going there and having that be like the social hub. So, you know, it's kind of interesting even within kind of like North America to see kind of like a little bit of a divide based on geographical preference. Yeah.
But also Nashville doesn't have the traffic that San Francisco.
And that's also true.
That has something to do with it. I mean, and have you been to Toronto yet?
I have been to Toronto, not 410. The last time I was in Toronto, it was February. It was pretty cool. So eventually I will be going to Toronto again, 410, but I'm trying to time that up now for the spring so that it's not too cold. And then obviously, you know, get over to Nashville to see the folks over there. You know, I don't know, like, I don't know how you've been doing it, but, you know, travel, you know, getting on a plane, like, you know, vaccinated, testing, all that stuff. Like you're sitting in like this plane for, you know, 5-6 hours. Like it's a little nerve wracking, like to think about it, what's still going on in the world.
Yeah. And I did travel recently and it was amazing is that less flights and they were all full.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
100% full. Yeah. And there's not much in you are. You just for 5 hours, you're right. And I went to the East Coast. It's like, I came out of it okay, but yeah. So and if you do go to Toronto, I would recommend the summer.
Summer, not the spring. All right, cool.
Because the spring, you still the lake might still be frozen. Just so you know, just take it from someone that's lived in that part of the world.
I think no matter when I go to Toronto, I need to save enough money to get one of those goose down like giant parkas. The last time I went, I didn't have the money to buy one of those things. They're pretty expensive, but they look pretty toasty.
Yeah, they are. And you get to catch a Blue Jays game. Nice.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, well, Matthew, it's been great talking to you. Hopefully you will continue to grow. And it sounds like you will. I think you've got a good model there. And I wish Winolo and yourself all the luck in the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate the time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.